Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
My bed is making noise. It's a ghost bed. Ooh. I mean, sometimes I make myself nauseous when I say something. As a listener, you can get 25% off site-wide for a limited time. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. I love my ghost bed for real. I love it. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. By the way, did you catch me whispering a second ago? Like I was still in the, even though it was bombing, I was still doing the ghost bed whisper thing. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, the makers of the coolest bed in the world. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. This is how finished I am. That's what a clod. That's what a no-show, and I think this is funny. Nobody thinks this is funny. I get it. You hate my guts for doing this, and I don't think you're wrong. October 24, 25, I'm going to be in Denver, and then I'm going to be in Batavia, Illinois, Portland, and then Eugene, and then Bend, Oregon, Huntington, New York, Newton, New Jersey, Bangor, Maine, Mashantucket. Why do I have a hard time with that? Mashantucket, Connecticut. Boston at the Wilbur to round out the year. Woohoo! JimNorton.com/tour.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Oh, good. I'm so, Chris, I'm really, was very psyched to get you on.
Yeah.
You're one of the guys I wanted on badly. And what Mike just kind of stopped us in our tracks from having arguably the most banal conversation two people have ever had.
I honestly was interested in it because you were proceeding to tell me why you really need, if you're going to have a built-in fridge, why you need access to the back of it.
Yes.
And what the pros and cons of that are. And that's really, I like that.
I do too. And it's funny, whenever me and Attell for years, every time I saw Dave, all we talked about was home decorating and furniture and flooring. And he's like, yeah, we should be filming. This is good stuff. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
Well, I'm happy to come on this pod because this is the only podcast, I've said this on other podcasts, this is the only podcast that I actually listen to on a weekly basis.
Oh, that makes me feel good. Thanks, man. Appreciate
it's,
that.
It's one of those pods where I say, all right. And it was funny for me coming in here because I always had a vision of what the other side of the camera looked like, and I was wrong.
What did you expect?
I thought that I honestly didn't think the kitchen was going to be this nice. I didn't expect the hallway leading into it. And I thought when I first walked in, I looked outside and I thought you had a Confederate flag out there, but it's actually a Norwegian flag.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But we have a Confederate ideals in this house.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Hey, like that, mine too, man. The Puerto Ricans, I'm pro ice. Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. They're born with passports, I checked.
They are, yes. They are very. Yeah. Everybody's so mad at Bad Bunny. And like, I don't understand people getting, who the fuck cares who sings at the Super Bowl?
I don't care at all. Bad Bunny is actually awesome. I mean, who cares what they're Spanish or not? I mean, half these guys have CTE anyway. They don't know. And some, honestly, I remember I went to one Super Bowl my entire life at MetLife Stadium. It was the Seahawks versus the Broncos, but it was MetLife, you know, I live in New York. So my dad and I went, and I mean, the Broncos got destroyed. I think they lost 55-8.
Oh.
But in the, and it was fun too at the end of the game to just watch the Broncos down by 1,000, and we were sitting in the Broncos section, and there was this husband and wife, the guy who had like these like Legion of Doom shoulder pads and face painted all orange, and he was fighting with his wife just the whole time. And then I remember she left, and she said something to him like, "You can get your ass home, I don't want to see you again." And he was like, "Fuck her." And then I remember me and my dad just watching this guy just depressed drink beer after beer after beer, sitting there alone, and swear, I wish I had pictures of this, tears coming down his face at the end of the, so just at the end of the game, because the team got smacked and his life's over and his wife's left. So it was just orange and blue, just dripping off his chin like an idiot. But my father, I never forget, the halftime show was Bruno Mars, okay? And they had given us this bag, this Super Bowl bag, and they had given us, like, it was like a Super Bowl padded seat and little figurines or whatever, and then they'd given us this hat that had lights on it. And the whole point of it is you have to put on the hat, and it was going to be like a light show while Bruno Mars was singing. And my dad was like, "I'm not putting on that hat," and he's just going on about he's not gonna put on that hat. And then Bruno Mars comes out, he's like, "Who's this? This guy sucks." Like, that's just how my dad is. Sure. He doesn't know who he is at all. He was like, "This is bullshit." And then little by little, as Bruno Mars, because he's so talented, I see my dad's foot start tapping little by little. And then I think he sang Gorilla, that song, Gorilla. And then next thing you know, I see my dad has that hat on, lighting up. And he's like, "Who is this guy again?" I'm like, "Bruno Mars." And then my dad texted his wife. He was like, "Get me Bruno Mars on the iTouch."
That's funny. So your dad's humming Locked Out of Heaven.
Yes, he will be locked out because his son's a...
Oh, Chris, you are a delight, man. And you look really good. I noticed when you walked in, like, you know, not that you needed to slim down, but I'm like, it looks like you look TV ready. And I know you did a great job hosting for Kimmel, by the way.
Thank you.
I was happy to see you in that spot. I'm like, that makes it felt right.
I was waiting for the call when the FCC fired him.
That was my next question. was there, like, even though you like the guy, when that happens, is there a little party that's like, "Yeah, you never know, I'm here.
Yeah, this is what I love about Jimmy, is he's just like a funny, fun guy. Yeah. Like, he's a comic, even though he didn't do stand-up, he's the comics, like, mentality. So that all went down. You know, I waited a day, and I texted him next day. I was like, "Hey, Jimmy," I was like, "you know, I'm just checking in, I'm here for your brother," and he responded with, "I'll never give you the show." Like, he just knew what I was prying at. And I wrote LOL, and then he called me. He was like, "I'm fine," you know. And he knew. Like, he knew everything. But I was like, "I'll never give you the show." It was great.
That was very funny. But yeah. I thought of you when that happened, of course, because, like, you're caught in that weird position of, like, I genuinely like this guy, and I want him to come back on the air. But fuck, man, if I'm next to him, it's hard to, you know.
Well, it was told to me, because when I was out there, you know, I had a really good time, like, hosting the show. My family was out there. It was great. And I was like, it was cool for me to see behind the scenes of, like, what it takes to be a late night host. Like, I feel good about my appearance, but I did two nights. To do that day in and day out for years is true. Because I was, like, doing my material for the monologue.
Yes.
He can't do that.
Right.
And the other host can't do that. Or, I mean, you can, but after a week, you're like, okay, now I got to start doing these topical news stories. And the things happen so fast. The one thing I'll say about, you know, I only have experience with Jimmy's show. The staff of that show is so, like, amazing and efficient that, I mean, they have 100 jokes for every topic by 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's crazy.
So they come down, and it's pages, and then you just pick the best ones, and you rehearse it, and you go with it. But throughout the time, I kept hearing the same note from the people who have been working there for a long time, a couple of the agents, like, "Man, you're doing so well. It's unfortunate that late night is going away."
It's a tough, I accepted that.
That it's not, there is no opportunity. When these shows end, they end.
720-820-1337. Call in. Chris is just great. And if you want to ask advice or talk to us about anything, feel free. Okay, so they'll call in. You did do a great job, but I think that the problem with it is nothing to do with you. It really is just the medium, because TV, type of show is eventually going
to
end.
Well, you know what it is, too? I think they were explaining to me that there will always be a need for topical, you know, jokes every day. However, doing it at 11 o'clock at night, which is where it thrived, is just not necessary anymore.
Right.
Because it's all been done on the internet. There was only, used to be one place to see it, and that was late night. Yep. Now, with a million outlets, you kind of it's almost like I equate it to, like, Ivy League colleges. Like, they're still important. Right. And they still have a place, but you don't need to spend $200,000 a year to get to send your kid to Harvard.
Right.
That doesn't have that much more staying power than if they just are a good student at you know, freaking Nassau Community College like me. So same with late night. It's like, I think it can be around, but the hosts are not going to be making $20 million a year anymore.
Right. It probably doesn't bring in enough money because, again, there's too many other ways for people to do stuff. It's not even a knock on the guys doing it. There's just,
no.
you're competing against everybody else on earth now.
The thing that I learned, too, about being around Jimmy is even when that FCC stuff happened, I knew that even if, I feel like I just knew immediately. I was like, they're not going to be able, Jimmy's going to come back on the air.
Yeah.
But I said, even if not. What Jimmy would do, just because he's so confident and he's so like, I know that I'm good at what I do, he would have gotten another job similar, maybe be on Netflix or a streamer, like immediately. Like,
yeah.
He's not going to go away. Like, sometimes when I see, you know, the internet, social media deals in absolutes. Like, these mobs that come after you, it's just black and white.
Yeah.
It's absolutism. It's, there is no nuance, and life is all nuance. Yeah. So the internet, that's why I don't really go on it too much, because I'm like, there's nothing that, these people just want, they just think you're good or bad. And in reality, it's like, we all live in the gray zone. And Jimmy, I've learned that about him, where it's like, the guy just, he can dance between like being the good guy and the bad guy better than anyone I've ever seen in my life. And anybody, anytime I'm with him in person, it's only people just come up to him and give him nothing but praise and love.
You know, it's funny. I don't know him well. I've done his show one time. Which, you know, I felt that more times would have been appropriate, but he, but no, he's always been nice. Like, I see him in person and he's always like, I don't care about a guy's politics. Like, I don't need to agree with his politics. We talked about this on one of the last episodes. I don't give a shit about the politics of my friends. And he's not a friend. He's just a guy I casually know, but he's been very nice. And like, I don't care if he likes Trump or hates Trump. It doesn't matter to me how any of them feel politically.
The thing is too, with me, I have no education on the politics at all. I don't really even know. If you said, what's the difference between the House of Representatives and Congress, I would have no idea.
I wouldn't either, to be honest with you. Like, certain people I know are Congress and certain I know are reps. I don't know which is which.
Yeah, dude.
Half the time.
It's not my thing. I don't care. I couldn't care less about any of it all. That's why I think getting off social media for me, it's just been, it's almost like when you get off it, it takes a little while, but when you get off it, I have someone who, you know, who runs it, because I know that the person who runs it doesn't, they don't get affected by any comments, because
sure,
they're not me.
Right.
So they would get affected by comments about them, but they're running other people's social media accounts. So I just noticed that, like, in the reality, in the real space, nothing, like, none of it is, it's all fake. 100% of it is fake.
In all the year, I've gotten a lot of hateful comments just because I'm, you know, my wife or material or opinion, whatever it is. Over the years, you get used to being,
sure,
people calling you whatever. Not once in person, and I mean anywhere, have somebody come up and spoken that way. And I'm not a tough guy. I mean, like, it's just that they are cowardly. It has nothing to do with me being strong. It's
sure,
just they are cowardly. And they'll only say horrible shit behind a veil.
Sure.
But I've never in my life, people will heckle sometimes, but people are always nicer in person. Then again, I'm nicer in person. It's funny. I don't like somebody. But then you meet somebody and it's, yeah, hard not to like, it's hard to trash them once you've actually, oh, that's a person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, there's been comics that have trashed me on social media or said something about me. And then I see them and I'm like, fuck that guy. And I'm just like, you know, waiting to just like drive my car over them. And I'll,
sure,
see him at the cellar. I'm like, what a nice guy.
You, yeah,
know? Because it's just, because you also realize, like, whatever somebody said about you on the internet, you know, they're being like, typically, especially if it's on Twitter, it's like faceless, you know, like,
that's
people,
right,
there's no identity attached to it. People will say whatever they want, get an alter ego out. Or if you're online and, you know, we're doing podcasts, you're talking for 2 hours, you may have inadvertently offended someone. You don't even know what the hell you said half the time.
Yeah.
So for me, I just, you know, getting off the internet to me has just been the best thing that's ever happened to me mentally. It's probably even the reason why I've lost weight.
You know, it's funny. I a lot of times, the internet's very kind. Like, a lot of times they'll comment on my appearance, but I'm like, guys, no more comments about my appearance.
No.
And it will just stop.
I saw a comment on yours from like a week ago. Somebody called you a pretzel.
Well, they're batting 2 for 2 on that one. Yeah, it is funny. Like, that type of stuff, when they'll, like, you know, be like, you're married a man. Like, none of that stuff bugs me. The stuff that will get to you is the stuff that the person who says it doesn't realize how much it would get to you. Like, there's certain critiques people will give you that you're like, oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. Fuck.
Just a, like a real, you know, kind of dig. I know sometimes when people will say, like, if I see like a social media comment or something, like a comment about my comedy, if somebody says, oh, that, I like that joke when so-and-so did it.
Yeah.
That, 'cause you're like, I didn't steal anybody's joke, but then they'll be like, what about this? And then you're like, oh shit, Bill Burr did have a premise about that.
Right.
Damn so it.
You have to be, there's no way to avoid it. Like, yeah. People are giving me shit because I'm doing this thing now, 6 dirty words you can't say on television.
Yeah, I know.
And they're like, it's been done. I'm like, I don't think so.
What the hell? I'm doing all Michael Richards old material.
Me too. Oh, that Laugh Factory said it. I'm doing it in a Chinese accent to really spice it
and
up.
It's really different. Yeah. What are you, Des Bishop?
Dude, is it crazy to watch him? And I know there's a video of him going around where he's at the Comedy Cellar and he speaks to an Asian woman in the front. And I know her. She's actually, it was a totally random that she was there. She's a friend of mine. And she happened to be there and no one could believe that he actually speaks it.
It's unreal.
It's weird to see a white guy speaking Chinese.
It's almost like it's almost like spy level stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, do you work for Shanghai?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? I'll get honeypotted by an Asian. I see him in the glory hole. That's the one where I will get, Asians will get me.
Really?
I'll ruin my life. I could get honeypot. I've been good. You know, I would never cheat on my wife. I don't want to lose, you know, anything that I have.
Sure.
But a hot, like, Asian agent, like somebody working for China, I could get honeypotted big because I really like Asian women.
Really?
And I didn't, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And I really liked them.
What tipped you? Like, what was the thing that all of a sudden just like locked you in?
Going to a little place called West Garden, getting happy ending.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
No. I think, you know what it is? You know what I think it is? I think you want what you don't have in your relationship. So if guys are going to go out and cheat, they're going to cheat on a woman. You know, like I would cheat on my girl. I would cheat on my girl. She's like a domineering Latina.
Yes.
So that's why I would go for like a submissive Asian. She's so different.
That's
She's
right.
She's so different than my girl. Like, who would you cheat?
Anyone with a vagina.
Yeah. So different, right? Yeah.
Now, you got, we were just talking briefly. I didn't want to talk about it before because I wanted to get your take live on the air. You seem like you're handling it well. You went over to Saudi Arabia. A lot of guys are getting a lot of shit for it. How did that whole thing unfold? And were you surprised at the reaction? And like, what has it been for you?
Well, first of all, after going there, I can tell you one thing that I know for sure is Islam is the answer. Allah is the way. No, honestly, I'll be honest.
Yes.
The sole reason I said yes was for the money. That is the sole 100% reason.
Yep.
There's no ends. If I would not go over there if it wasn't for a certain amount of money.
Sure.
Then I, you know, my family, I was like, and for me, it came down to, because there was a lot of controversy. And I said, you know, I'm letting all like this noise in from this comic and that, you know, nameless person on the internet. And then I said, let me just talk to Jasmine, my family. And I was telling her about this, and she was like, well, how much is it? And I told her, and she was like, you need to get your ass on that plane. That's exactly what she said,
sure.
Because she was like, we need this, right? And so for me, it just felt like I went over there, had a little bit of guilt and trepidation. I really did about going over there. But I was like, you know, get that money, get in, get out. It's almost like, they're holding that money hostage. Get the money, get out. Like Chuck Norris, just get in, get out. But then when I got there, I was only there for 20 hours. When I got there, I as soon as we land, I mean, I'm literally in the Saudi Arabian airport security, and one of the TSA agents, who was a female, so a female's working, she's Saudi Arabian security, didn't have the burqa on, and she had, like, looked like a regular woman, like a Middle Eastern woman that you would see working at TSA in New York.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay. Then you see a lot of people with the burqas on, and you know, it feels like, okay, I'm in the Middle East now. And then when we got to our hotel, we all had guides. And like my guide, of course, was just like, you know, like an old fat guy with a missing tooth, like a real Saudi Arabian, just militant kind of guy that was funny. It was kind of fun in the Uber to him, in the car over, because he was like, he kept telling us there's no audio equipment in here. Don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, let's stop saying that. We didn't think that there was. And then he just started saying how much he loves the Jews and how it's funny over there. Over there was very interesting because we had all these jokes lined up for like, oh, F the Jews, whatever, like thinking they would like that. And then they were like, no. He's like, that stuff's not going to work here. He was like, if you wanted to work here, you should really shit on the Palestinians. That's who we want to shit on. And
really?
I was like, whoa. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, interesting. And then he was explaining, I mean, that is his own personal opinion, but he's explaining all the stuff. But then the other guy, like I was out there with Andrew Santino, Bobby Lee, like bad friends. One of their handlers was like this smoking hot 25-year-old girl with goth black lipstick, like a cross earring, a tattoo, big, like she looked like a girl that would be in like Miami. And I'm like, oh, so this whole thing is not like what they said it was going to be. Like, not everyone is so like religiously militant. Now, what goes on with them, the freaking, you know, all the human rights stuff and all that, I can acknowledge that.
Oh, sorry. The dog and I were just celebrating all the money I'm saving with Mint Mobile. Taffy, give me a kiss if I've saved a lot. Oh, my God. This is the you're saving money with Mint Mobile kiss from... All right, all right. Dog's a terrible improver. If you're still overpaying for wireless, it's time to say yes to saying no. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. No contracts, no monthly bills, no hidden fees, no overages, no BS. This is why I said yes to making the switch and getting premium wireless, $15 a month. Overpriced wireless and their jaw-dropping monthly bills. I make a good living, but I still feel like I'm being ripped off with my stupid cell phone. Cell phone, what am I, 90? Unexpected coverages, one more time. Unexpected overages and hidden fees. Plans start at $15 a month at Mint. All plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contracts. One more time. Use your own phone number with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. That's why I did it. Because I really got sick and tired of spending as much money as I was spending. It's like just because you make the money and your phone bill is not the most important thing in the house, you still notice when it's really expensive. You still notice when your Wi-Fi and your data is really expensive. So I'm very happy with the switch. It was something I was hesitant to do because I had been with my company for so long. Keeping my phone, taking my number with me, those were very, very big incentives. Now, if you're ready to say yes to saying no, make the switch at mintmobile.com/Norton. That's mintmobile.com/Norton. Upfront payment of $45 is required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Hey, once again, we've gotten strange copy from Steven Singer. Everyone loves when I talk about our good friend, Steven Singer. The I Hate Steven Singer guy. If you've not heard yet, Steven Singer Jewelers was named one of America's finest jewelers. There's almost 18,000 jewelers in America, and they're all bums. There's almost 18. I read the same line twice. What an idiot. I do a bad accent, and I can't read. Almost 18,000 jewelers in America. Why am I bailing out of the accent? I have no faith in my ability. Less than 50 jewelers have received this honor. Just another reason why most of the jewelers hate Steven's guts. Steven is a jeweler you can honestly trust. He has the best guarantee, the best warranty, and the perfect price, 365 days a year. Steven always has the best value on real diamond jewelry. There's no phony sales, no bullshit fake discounts or raising the price just to lower to act like you're doing somebody a fucking favor. He doesn't do any of that shit. He's an extremely honest guy. Now, even if he wasn't an honest guy, I would say he was because I like him personally. However, he truly is. I went there, I bought Nikki's engagement ring, and I've also bought other stuff from him, like just for birthday and Christmas gifts. And he's just an honest guy. There's no bullshit. And the stuff is really high quality. I love Steven. No one does real diamonds better. And that's the truth. Experience the difference at Steven Singer Jewelers. One line at I Hate.
Online.
I just read online as one line. What a blind, fat necked idiot. Steven, I apologize. Why would you hire this frog neck to do reads for such a fine jeweler? He's one of America's finest jewelers, and he has a frog-necked, blinking ass doing reads for him. One line! That's what I should do. I should do one line of meth, then chew my own fingers off. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Fast and free shipping, IHateStevenSinger.com. A genuinely honest guy. I love Steven.
I understand that yeah. stuff was bad. I really do. But for me, it's like, you know, if they're trying to get better, and I was a part of going over there... I felt trepidation going out there, coming home. I felt absolutely zero regret, like truly zero.
Here's what I want to say. This because I didn't care who went or anything. I just don't give a fuck at all. Mm-hmm. But what airline did you fly, and how was the flight?
Dude,
did they fly you first class? Did you fly on business? Did you fly fucking Emirates?
Yeah, so we flew Emirates.
Okay.
We flew Emirates, and they flew I got business class.
Okay.
I didn't get first. I got business. But we flew Emirates, and Emirates was awesome, dude. We flew... Well, going out there, I flew Delta. Coming home, Emirates, you fly like an hour flight from Riyadh to Dubai, and then Dubai, 15-hour flight. I slept because the business is so comfortable. I slept for the first 10 hours of that flight, just fully slept. And it was amazing. And dude, even doing the comedy there, like there was a bit I'm doing, you know, it's like I think the theaters were having like, maybe my show was like 500, 750 seats.
Oh, okay.
But and it was kind of full, not really. There was like a ticketing issue, whatever. So it was kind of like pockets of people. So the set wasn't necessarily going that well for me. Not that I was bombing because of anything I said that offended them. They sure. just weren't laughing. I was like, you guys don't have Puerto Ricans out here? Yeah. I'm doing like bits about my dad. They're like, what is he talking about? So... But anyway, there was this girl, like fully, like in the burqa, like even just the eyes, like she just, yeah. she was like hardcore, and I could see her laughing through her, and so I said to her, I said, sweetie, I was like, just let me see the nose, just show me the nose, and she was like, you sort of shaking her head like that, and she's with all her friends, and then one of her friends, just like a girl would be here, was one of her friends said in Arabic, because I asked later, she said, do it, she was like, do it. And then I was like, just come on, let me see the nose. And then she was like, and pulled out the nose.
Funny.
And the crowd went crazy. And yeah. It was like seeing like a tit.
Yeah, like a brat, yeah.
And I was like, wow. And, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm totally understanding of certain comics. And this is, again, just the internet. Anything that I say, if I had a positive experience, is just justifying the money. Right. So I'm aware of that. The thing about me that's helped me so much mentally is I make my life smaller. Of course, I care about my own fans. And by the way, the internet was hating. I did 3 shows in Boston, so it was like collectively like 3,000 people, and sure. I opened up every show talking 10 minutes about Saudi Arabia, and everyone laughed and clapped at the bits.
Yeah.
And I waited purposely. I would say, I went to Saudi Arabia, and then waited. No booze, no nothing. They're just waiting for the bit, because right. people don't actually care. The thing that I think is the truth about that specifically is I don't think anybody actually cares at all, even the people who were the loudest.
Right.
Because to me, anyone who was loud about it and saying that they wouldn't go and make, then they've just made it about them and they've used it for their own career. So to me, you know, that whole blood money thing is like, that gets complicated, because it's like, well, if you made a joke in YouTube, you know, and your YouTube revenue went up because you talked about Charlie Kirk's death, is that blood money? What is it then?
100%,
you know,
yeah.
Like, so I don't understand. So for me, though, to see that, you know, a lot, you understand that a lot of our comedy peers who are upset about it, you realize that either they were asked to go, either they weren't asked to go, or they were asked to go and it wasn't the right amount of money, and they have a lot of anger towards that, and they just comes out in other ways. Because I don't think anybody sitting here in America truly, really, actually cares. They were told to care. It was a mob pylon, and they were told to care. So people just follow. They all of a sudden cared because somewhere their algorithm told them to care, and now all of a sudden they're like little zombies caring.
I would never tell somebody where to go to make money.
No.
And I want to say for the record, I was not offered $100,000 right. to go do a show. But if I was, you right. can bet I would be on that first flight out.
Exactly.
I would be on the first flight out. I don't give a shit.
With that all being said, we do have to pause here for a second. Which way is Mecca? would you mind if I use this carpet?
Yeah. Hey, little, look. Yeah. And the people are like, yeah, but you... And there was a really weird thing. People were like, yeah, but you signed something saying you wouldn't do... However... When you do late night TV or when sure. you do other, there are plenty of places you can't do pedophile jokes on The Tonight Show. You can't do certain jokes on a lot of stuff. So I have no interest either way. Like, I just didn't care that people went.
No.
I would have gone. Who cared?
Well, I saw, and that was interesting too, some comedians who talked about, they posted their contract that they rejected, and they crossed out the money, and they were like, oh, I couldn't go. I didn't go because of all these rules and regulations. You can't make fun of the government. You
yeah.
can't make fun of Islam. You can't make fun of the royal family. Okay. But then backtrack 2 years ago to the Dubai Comedy Festival in 2023. Some of those same comedians who made those remarks, if you look at that contract, same exact rules. Can't make fun of the royals. Can't make fun of Islam. Because you just can't do that in the Middle East. So my thing is like, you've, like a million times over, they've picked their battles,
yes.
and they've chosen what to be outraged by, because in the grand scheme of things, again, we all as humans live in the nuance, live in the gray zone. So it's like, yes, I went to make the money, but I also can acknowledge that their human rights record isn't the best, but I don't regret at all going. and I signed that contract because I don't have any jokes about the Saudi Arabian government. If they told me you can't talk about, if they told me, listen, you can't make fun of your Puerto Rican family or make up stories about your father, I'd be fucked.
Yes. And it is really, like, let's just say this. If there are people who didn't go because they felt they didn't want to go, good for them. Like, sure. I have no issue with them either. Like, someone who goes, no, I just don't want to do that. It's not for me. It's
good.
Cool. There's no problem
with that. To me, the real heroes are the people who didn't go, rejected the offer, and didn't say a word about it. They didn't post about it. They didn't like, look at what a great person I am. That, to me, was a little corny. And also, too, with this world, it's like, you want to shine the light on something, you better be ready for the light to get shown 100%. Back on you, because we all have to live with a certain degree of hypocrisy in this world, all of us. That's why we never judge anyone.
That's what you just said is true. We all have to live with a little hypocrisy. We are all, comics among, we are all a little full of shit. Like,
of course.
And it's not that we want to lie, but you can't live a life that is 100% consistent. Like, we're all a little bit bullshit at times. Like, again, I don't like what the Saudi government has done or what they stand for. However, for $100,000, I would go over there and I would divorce my wife first just so that they were happy to have me.
Yeah,
and
look at me.
Marry her. I'm like,
I had to lie. I had to lie starting this podcast saying I'd never been here before, when Jim knows damn well I come over every time his wife goes out of town. He sticks pretzels in my ass.
Is there nothing negative at all?
What do you mean?
At all, the whole trip?
Nothing, in Saudi?
Nothing weird?
What was weird? I mean, look, dude, it's a little, when you get there and you actually out in the desert, like, it's a little, even though you feel safe, it's a little kind of, you have to breathe a little bit when it's like, you know, to get into your hotel. They put us all in 5-star hotels. I was in the Mandarin Oriental. It's like there's a legitimate, like, Saudi Arabian battle tank
that
backs out and lets you go in, because they are very, you know, you're safe.
There's militants there, though, that are legit.
So that, and then off the sides of the highways, you do see, like if I saw a tank in the United States off the side of the highway, you're like, oh, it must be a museum. But there it's like an active duty, like, if any, because the guy told us, he said, what it's really about is if anybody ever from one of the border countries, like, shot like a bazooka or something or an RPG into the country, they want to have it like right away.
Right.
But the guy told me, he was like, you'll never be safer anywhere else than, you are the safest you'll ever be in Riyadh, because if you do commit a crime, like, somebody came up to this watch, right, that I have on, somebody came up to me and grabbed my arm in the at the comedy festival. They grabbed my arm and I pulled back, because in New York, somebody grabs your arm, they're going to try to steal your watch. They grabbed my arm and he looked at me. He was like, what a beautiful watch, sir. He was like, Allah has blessed you with the beautiful watch. Enjoy it, my friend. And then put my arm down and walked
away.
What
kind of watch is it?
It's a Royal Oak AP.
Is that a Rolex or no?
No.
Royal Oak's a brand.
Yeah. Yeah. So he grabbed it and I was like, oh shit. And then I, you know, was a little shaken up, and my guide was like, the guide was like, that people will just want you to have, they would never, ever, ever steal from you, because they know if they stole from you, they're going to be, there's no trial here.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
They're going to be applauding with their elbows.
There is no trial. Yeah. But the Saudi Arabian guide had an interesting thing that he said to me. He goes, yeah, I see all the controversy out there, you know, back home in America. He goes, but my thing is, like, why as Americans do you have to have everything? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you have to have everything. You have to be able to say whatever you want. You have to be able to talk bad about your president and your government, and you have to have everything. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, it's America, it's freedom. He's like, he was like, how much more free do you want to be here? It's like, the only thing that we've told the comedians is you can't make fun of our king, because that's embarrassing for us. So if I told you in the United States, the only thing you can't do is make fun of the president, would you not feel free? I was like, I mean, it would wipe out a lot of the economy. I mean, half these talking pundits on, that's all they do is talk about the president. So I understand. But that was his point. He was like, you guys have, he was like, you're gluttonous out there. And I got a little pissed at that. I was like, watch your fucking mouth about my country.
Well, he's in a way.
But he's right.
But here's why I don't agree with him on that, is that, like, even though you're right, it's like, yeah, technically that's not a big ask. But when you live in a place and your government does things you don't like, if you weren't able to come out and say, hey, this is bullshit, if you've never had that, you don't realize what you're missing.
Right.
But once you've had the ability to criticize your, I think that's one of the best things we have, is our ability to come out and trash Trump or to trash Biden or to brutalize people who are kind of making decisions that affect our lives. And he's never had that, so he doesn't understand like how important that is.
I get it. I totally get it. And I agree. And I'm so happy to be an American. And that's why I never understood like the people who were upset about us going over there. It's like, I'm not saying I want to go embrace Saudi customs and, right. and I live in America. I'm happy to live in America, but I understand like, bro, the rules are the rules. Like not every religion wants to even have gay people. And it's like, should all them be killed? No, that's just not the fucking way they grew up. I don't give a shit if you're gay or not. You know me. I probably am.
You've had this conversation in the mirror.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's my Grindr bio. I don't know if I'm gay or not. Just an emoji like that.
Shrugged shoulders. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But so for me, I was like, I get it. And honestly, dude, I went over there and I... Bro, after the show was over, there were all these people like crowding around us, like almost like you would see like Michael Jordan get crowded right. around like by like these African kids. They were all like crowding because they never had like live comedy,
right.
a live comedy festival. See, that's the thing. They've had live comedy there before. You know what? That's the thing. Like a lot of comedians have went there. Like
Russell Peters, yes.
Russell Peters, Nate Bargatze, Kevin Hart, all these guys have been there before.
Yeah.
They've been there many times before. But it's not a comedy festival. So I understand that, you know, this was a bigger thing. But for me, I was just like, dude, like, and already it feels like the comments are, according to my social media guys, like it's already dwindling.
Yeah.
Because people are just like, oh, I have to get mad at the next thing now. Now it's like, now it's like, okay, Israel-Palestine war is over, so now you have to figure out like the next thing to be upset at.
Yeah, or what angle can I take on that where I can stay mad and stay relevant and stay talk? It's crazy. Now, I know you're not gay, but you've joked about it. If you were, what kind of guy would you like?
I've thought about this, and I would like it, because if I was going to do it, if I really was going to do it, I think there would be some part of me that really I'd be doing it. Initially out of spite, I think. And so I would really want my dad to feel it. So I would pick a big fucking black, like Mike Yard.
Oh,
like a big black guy.
Someone that your dad would really disapprove
really hate.
Of.
Like if there's a guy out there, if there's a big black guy out there that looks like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton in blackface. Yeah. Just, that's what I would do.
Hannibal Buress.
Yes, yes. So... Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, this I sat next to him at a Knicks game once. This guy Trey Songz, is he gay?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting. What's his face died today? D'Angelo.
D'Angelo died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it.
D'Angelo died recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know his music. I know who he is, but if I heard it, I'd probably go, "Oh yeah, I know that guy."
Brown sugar.
I know you're a very anxious eater. What did you eat there?
Dude, in Saudi Arabia, they have dates. Wherever you go, they have candy dates. Bro, I ate so many dates. Like, they have pistachio dates, chocolate dates, pecan, anything. They love dates. They had chicken and dates. And then, but dates are really good for, like, they get you, like, regular.
They're good for you,
dude,
yeah.
Dude, I woke up. I told you I slept, I think, 9-10 hours on Emirates. So, for the last 5 hours of the flight to New York, I took 4 shits.
Oh, that's nice.
Because the dates were and good ones, like S-shaped ones, you know, really, really good ones.
I know.
Oh, they were. I know you wanted them on your chest. Yeah, just drop it off at 7A.
The type of shit where you start dropping it if you're standing, and then you just kind of walk forward let it donkey tail behind you.
Well, and one of the flight attendants, she was a cool girl. She was a bigger girl herself. After the fourth time I went in, she was like, "You had dates."
She knew.
She said it happens on these flights all the time in the Middle East because the dates.
People shit their brains out.
I'm good. Yeah.
Is it good?
But so I had that, and then just because we wanted to, I was there with my tour manager Steve Ciccone, Rice Cerrone, and then Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino, and just because we wanted to see what it was like, we had pizza in Saudi Arabia, and it was awful.
Of course it was awful.
But we wanted to say, hey, maybe they can. What's one thing we notice about out there, too, is they have all these big malls, shopping malls, but nobody's in them. Like, they just open up these stores for like optics almost, it seems like.
And if you want to go spend money, like it's probably there because some local guy who's worth $4 billion who you'd never heard of will go there and spend $200,000 on a weekend. Like they probably have guys that that stop in and keep them afloat just by with one spree a month.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had the breakfast spread that they had there. They had like all it kind of felt very Americanized. Maybe it was for the festival, I don't know. But the biggest thing, dates and Arabic tea, which is like highly caffeinated. Like it comes in like those like Aladdin freaking things. Like it looks like a shill, you know, like with the shoes that go up. That's what the coffee pots look like. And you would pour into that in there. And it was like these little shots of like cinnamon Arabic coffee. And it was
amazing,
was awesome.
Right?
Oh, that was awesome.
Could you have stayed for longer? Because I would have wanted to go, because I'm so weird when I do gigs. Like, I want to have a day or two. I like a nice hotel. Like, I would have wanted to stay for 3 days.
I had so much anxiety about going out there that I was literally there for 20 hours. I landed at 7 a.m. My show was at 7 p.m. And then we left at 2 a.m. And I was back in New York. I left Friday at 7 a.m. and I landed back at JFK Sunday at 1 p.m. My dad didn't even know that I went until I got back.
Did you sleep there at all or no?
No. When we landed in the, we landed at 7 a.m. We saw a little bit of stuff. You know, I mean, it is, I mean, it's a nice city, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, it's just, it's different things as sand. Yeah. It's just all in the sand. Yeah. So you're just like, I get it. It's nice, but it's like,
it's in the sand. Yeah.
He was like, I don't have to show you this. And I was like, yeah. And then we took a nap for like 3 hours, which is what we needed.
Yeah.
And then they took us to the show at like 5:36, and then, you know, in the green room, whatever. And then we did the show, and then we were all, me, Andrew, and Bobby were all on the same flight. We said, you know what, rather than going back to the hotel, let's just go right. We just went right to the airport, and we hung out in the airport for like 2-3 hours.
Oh, in the lounge.
Because they hooked us up. The lounge was like beautiful. We just kept eating dates.
Yeah, I've never flown Emirates. But it's like funny, like, cause I hate flying so much. That's what I care about. When I heard guys were going to Saudi, I'm like, I know the money is great, and they're getting a great flight.
Oh yeah,
they're getting a great flight. Yeah. That's what I care about.
Actually, yeah, and Colin too. I was talking to Colin about it before I went. He was like, maybe you shouldn't go. We were like, he was like talking honestly about it, and then I said, hey, you know, I not that I want to, you know, be open about this with you, but I said, you know, comic to comic, and I just, you know, does this change the situation? I told him what I was getting, and he was like, and he called me, he's like, you better get your ass on that fucking flight.
Yeah.
Same thing that Jasmine said.
Yeah.
He was like, you actually have to go now.
I have a guess. I don't want to say it publicly, but I think I have a rough estimate. I'm sure it was very, very,
Well, I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, I won't repeat it. I mean,
well, no, but I'll tell you off the air because my number got, I put it this way, and I'll tell you, I was in the right place at the right time for some shit happened, and I just was sitting there like literally it was one of those moments. No, it was one of those moments, and I'll tell you how I got there.
We're live right now, so. Oh, yeah. I won't say the I mean, OK, let's just say this. For what he just showed me, I would do stand up in the embassy as a head was being chopped off. I would literally talk loud to cover for the buzzsaw noises.
You'd use Nikki's cock as the microphone.
Wow.
I mean, so, and I
it's crazy to,
and
yeah.
I just,
good
I,
for you, buddy.
I sat there. I'll tell you that, remind me to tell you how I got to that number, because the first number you wrote was actually the number I was offered.
Oh.
That was the number. But then I got into a situation where, again, just right place, right time.
We have to talk on this because there are certain things where you don't want to blow up other people's stuff. But
reason why. It's not about me. It's about the other people. I don't want to blow them up.
Does that have anything to do with it?
Yes.
That was it?
Yep. And?
Ah, okay. I know we're talking in code, so I apologize to people. But let's just say I'm just being a gossipy hen right now. And I want to find out. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. And they wanted you to stay. Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, right place, right time. That's it.
Yeah, right. Because it's just the way it goes. So I've been, let me tell you something, and I was in that right place, right time for that, but there have been 9,000 instances where I could tell you I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I have never been in the right place at the right time.
I got lucky, man. It was one of the, it's really literally the only time in my career, I was actually thinking about this, when I was the benefit. Because a lot of times I'm just right, you know, like I just missed it. That's what I was, you know, on History Ainus, they call me Chrissy Almost. Like I almost freaking made it.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, whoa. I was like, what's the catch? Like I thought the plane was going to crash, whatever. But I was like, when that? And then the agent was like, because I said, okay, you know, I'm going to go over there, but that's not really going to be mine. And he said, no, they gave us the money already. It's in the agency's bank account.
It's
just
good.
Go get on the plane, do the show, come home. We got it for you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's
no. It's almost even worth like. It's almost like that's a number that, like, you know what? Like, I heard Bill Burr say, because he's, you know, I know he's the one getting, like, the brunt of all this, because, you know, I get it.
Sure.
But he was saying on, I think, Conan's pod, he was like, I don't even want to go to fucking LAX anymore. Like, I don't give a shit. Like,
right.
Then I'll go away for a year. I don't give a fuck. Like, it's almost like that's not that number, but I was thinking about it, you know what? Even if fucking, you start to play all these anxieties in your head because of the hate you're seeing online, you're like, even if the next couple of venues are like, hey, Chris, sorry, we got to pull your shows. There's protesters, okay. Even though there wouldn't be.
No.
I wasn't that high on the totem pole. But I was like, well, whatever. That number fixes that.
100. Literally, for that number, if they said, Jim, your mother has 2 weeks to live, I would text her from the plane.
Hey, Mom, just FaceTiming you as she's gargling.
I miss you. I put the phone next to her ear. Yeah. You've been a wonderful mother. And then I would just say the number to her. Watch her smile.
Yeah, just as she's gargling, you're fucking swallowing dates whole. No gag reflex. Just throwing it back.
Yeah, so I totally get it.
Did we get no calls? Is that how bad
I
suck?
No.
I'm sorry if I didn't.
No, we just didn't go to the phone. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. This is a fun chat.
Okay, great. No, let's keep chatting. We should go to our call.
No, man. I've been dying to have you on.
Yo.
Guys, you want to dry a vagina out? Put this hat on. You want to get a vagina nice and moist? Enter the room, dick first. Blue Chew is not just a tablet. It's a cheat code for your penis. They say crotch. I say penis. Stronger, harder, longer lasting. It's like someone gave your downstairs a pep talk and a gym membership. No, it's not. It's like somebody helped the blood go where it belongs and to fill your penis and make it turgid. I really enjoy a good Blue Chew. A few weeks ago, I was in a town. I got to go to their headquarters, and I always have a couple of tablets with me. Even though I'm married and even though I'm not sleeping with anybody, I like to have one. It's old habit, and there's times I'll take one and just admire my penis in the hotel. I'll be like, my God, that's impressive. And then I'll put on my sweatpants and I'll let it tent and I'll send a picture to my wife and she'll go, who is this? And I'll go, oh, she doesn't recognize it because it's actually standing up straight. She's used to seeing me tweedling my nipples, panicking. Listen, I do love taking Blue Chew, and I joke about it because, you know, that's my job. But I genuinely like this product. I thank you guys for sponsoring the show. But even if you didn't, I would still take it. Why? Because it makes my dick feel really good, and it helps my dick stand up nice and strong, and it helps me not come quite as fast, and I'm more confident. Whenever I take a Blue Chew, I'm a lot more confident. It's not just about performance. It's about legacy. Or wait. Third legacy. Give her a group chat. Look, she's talking about you to her friends. At least give her something good to talk about. They're going to go, how's sex? And she's going to go, it's good. Everyone knows she's lying. You're lousy. You want her to go, oh my God, it's great. It's that hesitation that lets everyone know you're a limp dick fool. How's sex with him? It's good. She hates it. All right, here's the call to action. You know when you lay it down, they're talking about how good it gets. What am I talking about? What am I doing here? Stop reading the call to action. We got a special deal for our listeners. As always, get your first month of Blue Chew for free. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. You pay $5 for shipping. Join Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. Head to bluechew.com. That's BLUECHEW. Bluechew.com for details and safety info. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. I genuinely love your product and I take it whether you sponsor me or not. Shopping for a new mattress can feel like a drawn out process. You pick one, you wait weeks for delivery. By the time it shows up, you've given up on sleeping comfortably. I'm a terrible sleeper. I run very hot when I sleep. Ghostbed, you don't have to deal with that. Most Ghostbed orders ship very fast. Now, I'm a big shot, so I got mine quick. But even though you are not a big shot, 2 to 5 days, you probably have it. So you can be sleeping better by next week. No waiting around. No endless delays. They're a very, very easy company to deal with. Ghostbed mattresses, they cost up to 50% less than comparable brands. So you're getting premium quality without that disgusting premium price tag. They're a family-owned company. 20 years of mattress experience. Every mattress is designed, and this is what I care about. All that other stuff is great. Do I care about it? No. What do I care about? There are cooling features to keep you comfortable at night. That's what I care about. I wouldn't care if they filled it with turtle shells, as long as I can sleep comfortably. And they don't, by the way, so I don't want them yelling at me. Stop saying turtle shells, all the animal people. They are built to last with a 20 to 25 year guarantee, 101 night sleep trial to make sure it's the right fit for you. Now, you're not sure where to start? They have this redesigned mattress quiz. I guess the old mattress quiz was a bust, so they redesigned it. They hired a team. Let's make the quiz fun so the whole family can gather around. But it was actually pretty easy, and it was quick. It was very smart, and you and your partner can do it together. And you want to do that so you can both find something you're going to love. Right now, as a Jim Norton listener, consider yourself graced. 25% off site-wide. Sorry, I drank a lot of coffee. 25% off site-wide for a limited time. You go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton to check out. They also have amazing pillows and amazing sheets. They're comfortable. They're smooth and soft. I don't know how to describe sheets, but I know that my skin itches a lot, and I sleep very well on my ghost bed with my ghost bed pillow and my ghost bed sheets. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghostbed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. You geese, see the site for details.
Oh, my God, this is fair. You know, I called last time about like an hour ago, and I never call. So this is my second time trying to call.
Oh, wow.
And I got fucking bored as hell from that other guy talking about fucking drinking cough syrup and whatever the fuck it was. And then, so, you know, some guy was real nice and did a mural. I'm big fans, like huge fans.
Oh,
I'm
the
big
caller.
Fans
you
of you more, but Chris.
Thank you.
The caller, yeah, not the guy that looks like Elijah Wood with the Burt Reynolds must. I don't know who he is, but he seemed like a real nice guy.
Yeah,
but now if I have a question for Chris,
yes.
Because anytime I read DeStefano, I want to say Chris DeStefano, Chris Stefano sounds more Italian. Would that be the right way to say it, or how do you guys?
Well,
did they mispronounce your name?
No, well, and to be fair, it's now Al Shabazz.
El-Hajj.
Well, Muhammad, too, is hyphenated, right?
Yes, El Shabazz,
yes. Al Shabazz.
By the way, I'm glad you didn't bomb over there.
Thank you, I know. They're used to that. It's mine's DeStefano. DeStefano is how I say it. No, there was Mike DeStefano,
yes.
But I'm DeStefano. His was D-E, I'm D-I.
You know, it's funny. I was never sure because I knew Mike pretty well. I never knew if you actually changed that because, like, when you're like Mitch Fatel is his name, but he changed it to Mitch Fatel because of Dave Attell. It was too close, and people would just mix it up. So he changed the pronunciation. So I wasn't sure if you had done that.
Yeah, I felt like I knew that I was not. I want to say in, but I felt like I knew at least I had even a minutia of respect from the older guys like you and Rich Voss and Colin when I was at the Comedy Cellar. This was 2017, and Nick DiPaolo was still there. And I had went on stage and came back up and said something. And Nick said that the wrong DeStefano died. And he said that he wished I was dead. He wishes Mike was alive and I was dead. Just for no reason whatsoever. I literally had a great scene. I was eating chicken wings and he said that to me and walked away. And then Colin just rubbed my shoulder.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a very Nick DiPaolo comment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. All right, well, thank you for the. Was there anything on your mind, bro? You all right?
No, I'm doing great. I was just listening to you guys on the podcast or whatever for the last, hour or whatever. I was kind of just into it. It sounded awesome. I didn't know if you guys were dropping new specials or anything like that over the next couple months or whatnot.
I don't have anything coming out probably for a couple of years, but you sound exactly like I'm watching a show right now on HBO Max called Husk, one of the best shows I've seen. It's about like people in the Philadelphia, Delaware County area, and you sound exactly like every character from Husk. If they have a second season, dude, you got to be on the show.
Yeah,
I'll have
Husk.
To,
it's fantastic.
I'll have to check it out. I am from the Philadelphia area.
Mark Ruffalo plays the lead guy, Ruffalo.
Yeah,
Ruffalo. And he plays an excellent, he's so good at it. And he's kind of like, a guy that's, you know, I've watched his stuff for a long time, even though he's like kind of like a cucky activist now.
Yeah.
But it's still.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. I can eat every single time separate the man from the art, and he's amazing.
I absolutely can do every time. I don't care at all.
No, dude, he's fantastic. I'm going to give a shit what he stands for in his real life. I love him.
Yeah, it's utterly meaningless what any of these guys stand for if I like what they're doing as a performer.
Yeah, and it's also like you got to understand, like actors and actresses and us, like, but a lot of actors and actresses, like, they're clinically insane people to begin with. Imagine your whole career was making believe you were somebody else. It's like, what am I going to listen to your politics? I don't give a fuck.
That's exactly it. It's like, people forget that performers are flakes.
Yes. What do you think? Like, I don't have any backbone. People like... Yeah. Somebody I saw a commentary is like, just admit it. You did it for the money. So you went to Saudi Arabia for the money. It's like, of course I did it for the money. What do you think? I want to fly over Gaza for fucking free? Yeah, well, what are you talking about?
This isn't a hobby. This is a fucking way I pay my bills.
Shut up. Yeah, I hate myself like the rest of you.
Yeah, that people really do forget that. Thank you for the call.
Thanks,
buddy. We got somebody else. I'll watch that, though. Tusk. I haven't watched anything new in a while. I hate...
Oh, it's called... Did I say Tusk? It's called Task.
Oh, Task. Okay.
What a dope. I was saying Tusk.
No, you said Husk.
Oh, I said Husk. What an
asshole.
Is this
Task?
It's Task. And what was I saying? Tusk or
Husk?
What an asshole.
I didn't
know. The guy's probably like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, it kept looking up and it kept coming up Hacks on HBO. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, what a... I really am a jerk off.
Task.
Task.
All right, Husk.
Yeah.
You're unmuted.
All right.
Hello, you're on with... Chris and Jim.
Hey, my name is also Jim.
Oh, what a marvelous coincidence.
Yes. Sure. I just wanted to know, this is kind of a serious question, but I saw the Chicago police tackle a pregnant woman to the ground yesterday, and I don't know if I should do anything. If I should, like, how I should feel about it, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I'll say this.
Like,
if she was someone I got pregnant, I'd be cheering the police department on.
Yeah,
hope they tackled her on steps.
Yeah, and it seems like you have a nice post stroke voice. So if I were you, I'd be thinking of ways to get that bit on Kill Tony.
I have a paralyzed vocal cord.
Yes, get to Austin Monday nights.
Wait, now let me ask you, what was this? I didn't see the video. Is this the video of the mom or whatever, but then they show the cop had bite marks like she bit him? Is that what happened?
I didn't see
it. No, so here's the thing.
I read about it, but I didn't
see
it.
All the videos you see are the fat old cops that take 2 minutes to, like, take these women down. This was 24-year-old jacked-ass dudes that took 10 seconds
wow
to take her down and get her in the car.
Well, I mean, pregnant women,
I mean,
like, protecting their baby, that's a tough, that's like a guy on bath salts.
Yeah.
They are going to do anything they can to protect that baby.
Yeah.
It's like instinct.
Yeah, I don't know, sir. I read something about where they showed bite marks and they showed it, but I didn't see the video or read the article, so I really don't know what you're talking about. What do I think should be done about it? I don't know because I haven't seen it, so I don't know the context of it.
Okay, so, but, like, from my perspective, having seen it, should I get wild about it? Should I get, like, angry and, like, all political?
I mean,
and
it depends.
All get online.
Are you getting paid by George Soros or not?
I am not.
Then I wouldn't say anything. I would wait for the Soros check.
Absolutely, wait for those Soros dollars to pour.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, sir. What's natural for you? Like, however you react normally was how I'd suggest you react. I can't tell you how to be angry or not be angry. If you want to post political stuff,
I want to go crazy about it, but then I'm like, then I'm the crazy person, you know? Like,
I mean, go crazy over a video you saw. You can post about it, but why not just post what you know?
No, not a video. Oh. Something I saw in person.
Oh, you saw it in person. Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry. I think I have to watch the video.
Wait a minute. The video that we're watching, he saw in person? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. It might be a different video.
No, so you don't see the video. So you're not seeing the video. Because I'm telling you, these are 24-year-old jacked cops. It was 10 seconds long.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I mean,
on Clark Street in Chicago.
Get crazy about it, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like get up and on? Are you talking about, like, shooting up someone? What are you talking about?
No. I'm just saying, like, should I start posting? Should I start, like, getting all political about it? Should I start, you know?
No. I mean, what do you want to do? I don't know you. What yeah. do you want to do,
sir? It sounds like you want to just jerk off to it, yeah. so just do that.
yeah, feel free.
No, I don't want to jerk off to it. I want to, like, make the world a better place. But I don't know.
Rage posting yeah. is never going to make the world a better place. But if you want to just post your thoughts about what you saw, feel
yeah.
free.
And honestly, you have, again, bad timing. We already have a guy with a paralyzed vocal cord making the world a better place. His name's RFK.
Yeah, thank you.
I believe circumcision will cause your son to stare at the television without blinking for 2 hours. All right, good. Nice talking to you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir, for the call. Appreciate that. I had no idea what the guy was talking about. Sometimes the callers go a little off. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, I think this, though. If you ever, here's my rule. If I feel any kind of should I, shouldn't I post it at this point in my life, I don't post it. I only post things that I'm like, I'm okay 100%. If that's out there, if my daughter sees that, if my wife sees that, if my mom, if I have any guilt anymore, I'm like, just don't.
I try not to react post just because I realize how jaded everything I'm seeing. Like, there was one video of a guy getting thrown off a Delta flight or about to get thrown off a flight. And it was, they said he was wearing a MAGA hat, and you see the pilot talking to him and the flight attendant. And you're like, look at these woke fucks. And I very, like, I looked in the comments for it to see more context. And I realized they're like, it was not a MAGA hat, but the hat said, build back better my ass. So their issue was, it's got some profanity on it. So like, they had a legit issue,
right?
But I immediately almost reacted based on just a quick, and I'm like, no, don't be a jerk off and react. Yeah. Look, know what you're talking about before you react to it.
I think, and I know that this has been talked about to death, you know, like how social media is cigarettes for the brain and all that. I get all that, but it's like, that's why I love history. You know, do the history podcast. Like, right now I'm fascinated with, like, the Crusades, just learning a lot about the Crusades and all that. Probably because I was in Saudi Arabia. I was like, I'm going to have to go back on
that. They're going to accuse you of them, yeah.
I know, exactly. So I learned, like, you know, the stuff, like, we look at, like, the things that they used to believe, and you're like, what a bunch of freaking idiots, like, barbaric, and how, like, they were able to tell, like, a crusader, like, you know, you're going to go to the gates of heaven if you just, you know, behead this Muslim, sure. And the Muslims were being told, if you kill these Christians, you'll get 72 virgins, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, you look back at it now, and you're like, oh, they weren't educated, and they were crazy and being led astray by, you know, this blind, you know, faith and all that. And then, like, I look at social media and I'm like, the people 500 years from now are going to look at us the 100%. Same way. Like, remember when they were getting fooled by videos and with AI just beginning? Like, it's like, remember when they were addicted to social media? Remember when their whole life was in their phone and they weren't living, you know, the life that they're supposed to be living? So for me, it's like, it's clearly the answer is get off social media and your life improves. It's so crystal clear to me. But it's very difficult because we're all addicted to it, like caffeine.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of stuff I look at that isn't bad. Like, my algorithm is not bad. Sure, it's certain trans girls with bulges, but mostly it's bees.
Dude, yeah.
I like a lot of fucking killer bee videos, sure. And Japanese hornet, like all these things that I actually enjoy, like, are cool videos. None of it's political.
Germany passed a law that I believe you have to be 18 now to have a social media account. So if the freaking Nazis can see the problem in it.
Absolutely.
That's how you know, you're like, you.
Well, they also they didn't want underage people looking at their shit porn videos.
I love a good Nazi shit porn.
I mean, they really are the best people. The Germans really are fun group.
And nothing like a little shit on a swastika.
Yeah, nothing like a good surrender to really straighten you out sexually.
Oh, yes.
It's really, and you've never in your life, like, have you ever watched gay porn? By the way, I'm going back to this because I was going to ask you before we're doing Get Sidetracked.
Not seeking it out, but like today, we were on the Hyenas podcast and we were pulling up Brazilian trans porn to get ready for this pod.
Of course.
So we're pulling up Brazilian.
What girls did you see? I'll tell you if I know who they are.
Well, I don't know, but they were smoking hot.
Sure.
And one of them, because one of them was getting, you know, it was like a front and she had a dick in her ass. And I didn't, and I was like, oh, well, that, I thought it was a girl getting, it was two girls, but one of the girls had a dick.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize the other one who was sitting on top, because the girl I was looking at, I was like, oh, the girl has a dick, and I'm like, not interested in that. But then the girl who was sitting on the dick, I was like, she's really hot. And then I was like, see, that's like a hot chick. And then Giannis was like, that's a guy. And I said, it's not.
And she's, and I said, that's her pussy. And then you looked, it wasn't. It was just her flaccid, uncircumcised penis that was hanging over. So I was like, interesting.
Wow. So not, she, obviously not a very big one if it was mistaken by for a vagina yeah. on site.
But I actually watched a video that said, from a scientific point of view, just brain neurons firing sexually, the highest amount of neuron firing for a straight heterosexual man is when they watch trans porn, because the things that they are most attracted to are big breasts. That's number one over big butts, big breasts. And the second thing is a big penis. So if you combine the two, that's how you get the highest arousal, because that's why even straight guys will subconsciously fast forward through porn with flaccid little limp dicks.
That's, and it's funny, I've been talking about this recently on stage. I'm only saying that because I don't want you to think I stole your idea. Like, I'm not stealing your conversation. Like, you'll see me on stage and go, we just chatted about it, this hack stole it. No, but the idea of the obsession with penises that guys have, and they like, and again, guys are straight, I don't think they're gay or bi, but like, nobody wants to see a fucking tiny dick. And right. Nobody right. seeks out, again, small limp penises
right.
to prove their straightness.
No, it's just disgusting. It's nauseating. And yeah, I've seen a few limpies in my day.
Yeah.
It's just gross and absolutely. It's hideous. So this is what it is. So like, see, like right here, like just a big cock and tits. You're interested in it.
Her name is, oh, look at that. What a coincidence. It's porn star Nathany Bigcock. What an That's interesting what name.
Which, by the way, I like moments ago, I just proclaimed to the world, I said, I only will put out content that I am comfortable with my daughters and wife seeing. And then within 5 minutes, we put up Brazilian transsexuals.
Well, the best part is this. I said, have you ever watched gay porn? And you said, interesting enough, but today.
What a coinkydink. Yes, today I perused.
Yeah, there's a few girls that I'm like, oh my God, like trans porn stars that like, I'll never meet them because they're from Brazil, they're from somewhere else. But
right.
I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, man. As time goes on, I mean, 200 years from now, it might be indistinguishable. I mean, it might just be like, there's so many, it's just everything's mixing together now. So might be good to get a beat on it.
I only asked you just because you joke about it. So I was like, well, maybe he's held a penis before.
I joke
maybe,
about
maybe
it.
He's held, you ever hold a penis when you were small that wasn't yours?
Just
as a young man. Yeah, you know, you're young, you're exploring.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody did.
I agree. How old were you? And was he an older relative, or was it just a kid in the neighborhood?
Okay. It was a kid. It was just a kid in the neighborhood. We would actually do, when I was younger, we would sit in my friend's apartment and we would do circle jerks. So I was around that. I think that's just what boys do, especially all boy.
That's what men do, Chris.
That's what men do. Well, I mean, especially all boy Catholic high school. When I went, you know, late '90s, it's like everybody was getting teabagged or getting a dick on the back of the head, like running.
Yeah,
it's just what it was. It was called, you know, playing sports.
Isn't it weird too? It's like when you look at like fraternities and all these weird things they do to get you, and it's a banana in the ass. It's all this pseudo gay stuff. Is that because there's like weird feelings, or is it just because it's so taboo? If we can make you take something in your ass, it's hilarious.
Yes, it's like, dude, I wasn't gay and I wasn't a racist when somebody would stick a frozen banana up my ass and I'd yell the N-word. It's just...
Absolutely not. It actually sounds like a marvelous way to open a special.
Yeah. It's just you couldn't say... That's what Jeff Ross is doing on Broadway right now.
Take a banana for the colon.
But, you know, yeah, it's just taboo. It's just, you know, oh, I can't... And especially us as our personalities as comics, I can't say it, I can't touch it. So what do I want to do? I want to say it, I want to touch it. That's all it is.
Yeah. But at least you talk about it, which I love that you always joke about it, but at least you joke about it.
Well, because it's one of those things where it's weird how you like go through different things in society, right? Because I would always joke about it when I was, you know, in my 20s in my neighborhood, and it wasn't the most educated,
right?
You know, guys, it was like just us messing around, whatever. And nobody ever thought I was gay. Nobody ever said that because we're all just doing it, joking around. It's like we all got wives and kids and all that. It wasn't until I started doing comedy with, like, you know, you meet a very intelligent, articulate people, and they start to go, well, explore that.
Yeah.
And then you start to go, oh, maybe I am gay. And then you start to like have this thing. And then it really took our good friend Mateo Lane to say, Chris, you are not gay. Okay, buddy, I know people who are gay. You're not gay. You talk about it with a confidence that's funny and silly from your neighborhood, but you're not gay. He was like, when we're with each other, all you do is look at women.
Might I counter that with, if you're not sure, and Mateo Lane has to confirm that you're not gay, you're not gay, but you may have more inkling than he thinks.
Yes.
He may be too jaded.
Right.
See, in Mateo's world, everybody's gay is just open. He doesn't. Yes. Maybe he doesn't.
Listen, in fairness, he did say this. My head was on his chest at the beach.
You're not gay. You just need a strong friend to hold you.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It's so much funny how Mateo has such an effect on so many comic like guys I know. Like Bob Kelly can't stop talking about how good Mateo looks. Oh, guys are obsessed with the shape he's in. It's very funny.
I've said this many times before. He's far and away my most talented friend overall. He can obviously do comedy.
Sure.
He can sing amazing. He can draw. A
great artist.
In a way that is almost like a savant.
Yep.
He sees numbers as colors. So it's a very gay brain right there. He sees like seven, it's like a light purple. And so he can see.
Interesting.
He has like I forgot what it's called. It's a condition where you see your senses are a little blended. It's anosmia, synesthesia. That's what this is what Mateo has. And then he's a fantastic cook. So it's like he can do all these. I'll never forget when my older daughter was about three, he came over to the apartment and he was holding my daughter, singing Little Mermaid to her, drawing Little Mermaid with his left hand, drawing a picture of Ariel. This is in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He's sketching it, drawing it like this, and stirring sauce. He made us like a beautiful pasta carbonara.
That's funny. He's like fucking Henry Hill's brother.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. The colors thing got me because I've talked to Daryl Hammond before about impressions, and he said he sees voices in color, like a weird like Trump would be a green, or like whatever it is that he just it's a way of seeing something in your brain, you know, like I can't explain it, I don't get it,
right?
But you know, like as a comic, when you're going for a joke, people are like, how do you come up with stuff fast? And it's almost like somebody says something and then the words are just kind of hanging in the air and you grab them. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And I can't understand the colors.
I can't understand the color thing. I really can't. And I used to think, you know, I think there's a part of, you know, because I didn't come up in the comedy scene like a lot of the guys that came up with Sam Morril, Mark Norman, fantastic joke writers. And also they know the history of comedy in a way that I never knew. Like I don't know the Pryor albums and the Carlin albums. I didn't watch. The only thing I watched, honestly, when I was in college was Tough Crowd. I watched that. I knew that. But the other stuff that they're talking about, I didn't know. And for so many years, I felt like I didn't belong. I was like, I'm a hack. I don't really have that, what they have. And, you know, so early in my career, people had said to me, oh, you're only getting that stuff because of the certain way you look, or you're imitating your, you know, dad and the bullshit Brooklyn stuff, all that stuff. And so for years, I carried that. But then as the years went on, I was like, no. I actually, whatever that sense of humor is, I do have it, because when I go on stage, there's a lot of times where I can't tell you how I'm making the people laugh. I'm just making them laugh. And I'm not saying that makes me fucking great, because a lot of times I put out stinkers. But I think we do have something that like other people don't have, that we could just naturally go.
Well, you're a rare guy in that you're a really good looking guy who's very naturally self-deprecating. And it's real. And you also, like, this is, again, the brain. A minute ago, we were talking about something, and then you caught yourself and go, I just said I was only going to put out content that I wanted my daughter to see as you're talking about Brazilian transport.
Yes.
Like, that's the connection. That's very funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's a comic's brain.
Yeah. So I think that also, too, you know, comedy nowadays has just, like, the thing that I started out doing 15 years ago, I mean, comedy is just such a radically different thing now. Like, I don't know if I was starting stand up today, if I would do it. I mean, I'd be like, I don't want to fucking do clips on TikTok and see an algorithm. I don't want to do that at all.
I don't either. My TikTok's a bum.
Oh, me too, dude. I stopped posting stuff on my YouTube, and it is amazing how immediately it fucking plummets, and immediately your YouTube revenue goes down to almost zero.
Really?
Yeah, where you're like, I'm talking about in 3 weeks, done. You know?
Why'd you stop?
I have my History Hyenas podcast, so I've been doing that, and I've been like, you know what, man? I don't have. I would just be doing. I was doing another podcast, Chrissy Cast, that Pimp and I did when we started.
I only started it
when History Hyenas ended, and then History Hyenas came back, and I was like, now I'm just doing this for the money. I'm just doing this to do it, and I didn't like the way I was feeling. I didn't like the product I was giving to the fans, so I was like, okay, I'll start doing stand up and putting that out week by week. But then even that felt like no. But I want you to come see me live,
yes.
And I want
my stand-up. I'd rather show you my hour that I did for 2-3 years and present this piece as opposed to little hits here and there, which I know crowd work and 1 minute. I know all that's in right now. I get it, and I understand it. I know that I might take a hit financially, but I was like, I got to just see how I feel. And so far, I've said, you know what? I can be happier with less. It's like, yeah, I don't have the views and the money I had, say, 6 months ago when I had all this stuff going, but I'm still just as happy. And I actually feel better about myself as a comedian today than I did when I had more money and views coming in 6 months ago.
A hit financially after that Saudi show? I'd say you're ahead of the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why certain things you got to just say yes to.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I could say yes to that because then that kind of frees me up. Dude, the only, for me, I guess, you know, having a family and all that, money.
You got three kids?
Three kids. The thing that, my stepson and two daughters, but three live under my roof and treat them all like one cohesive family. Wife, three kids. And so, money is just freedom to me. Like, I don't think about the money in stacking. I think about, okay, I make X amount of dollars. This buys me 6 weeks home with my family. It's just little freedom coupons. That's how I look at it always.
Yeah, making the money is really nice. Like, I don't do radio anymore, so it's like I'm just on the road more. But it's fine. The money is good, so it's like my life is not different.
But do you bring your wife with you? Do you bring Nikki with you ever on the road?
Occasionally she'll come, but she gets so bored. Like, she doesn't want to sit in the great room. She's just, she has no tolerance. And we have the dog now, so it's a pain in the ass because she refuses to stop spoiling him. He refuses to stop pissing and shitting everywhere. Right. So I don't want to have him in a fucking hotel shitting on the floor. But she does come.
He's like you in a hotel.
He sure is. Yeah. Pisses in the corner. He shits on the floor. Jerks off to porn all night while his wife is home alone.
But so, because I wonder too, if you were on the road like that, if you had, do you feel like you miss Nikki and the dog so much, and you feel this conflict? Like half my brain is in Montana.
Sure. Yeah. Terrible. I hate being in a 4-star hotel while she's here.
Yeah.
No, I do actually. I do. I miss, my favorite thing to do when I walk in the front door is, The dog coming up to greet me. I've never had a dog before, so the dog is so happy to see me. Like, that's my favorite part of
coming
home.
Yeah, that's like having, it's the same joy as a child. It's the same. I saw a study that when a dog runs up to you versus when a child runs up to you, it runs up to your child runs up to you, it's the same oxytocin getting secreted in your brain. So that joy that you feel is what I feel with my kid.
And neither one of them is any different than that same neuron firing when men see breasts and penises on the same person.
100%.
A lot of brain chemistry stuff today.
Yeah.
Where did you hear that about the? That's very interesting about the neurons firing.
I don't. What the trans one or the oxytocin?
Oh, the who cares about oxytocin? I mean the porn stuff.
The porn. I actually, believe it or not, Giannis and I also coincidentally watched that video recently because we're just into. We get fascinated on like. What is the chemical reaction of why something is happening?
Okay.
Like being in love and all that. It's all chemicals. It's just what it is. And so we were like, what's going on with because Giannis was, he openly says it, how much he just loves trans porn.
Oh, good for him. Knows, I thought I heard that before.
But he's not gay. You know, that's what he's like. He's not gay, even though his career is, hinged upon him dressing up as a Latino trans person, He has a fucking wig and fishnet stockings on Cameo, and he's like, I'm not gay. but him and I talk, and he, to his credit, he's the one that found the video, but we watched it. It was fascinating. It was all scientific data. I mean, you could disprove some of it, I guess, but it's scientific data where they were saying we actually had, one of those like brain neuron freaking stupid electrode things on a guy's head and just watched what happened. And
when
multiple
he watched
guys.
Certain things. Wow.
Yeah. And far and away, the neurons started going off.
I would love to be Giannis when he's just alone in his house going, it's the neurons.
Yeah.
You can't help it. It's neurons. There's nothing you can do about it. You don't want to hold one in your cheek.
Yeah.
I understand.
It was one of those. I know we did an episode today about the BTK killer.
I just watched that special with his daughter.
What a
lunatic. He's getting, I say this, considering what he did, he's a little harder to root for than I thought.
Yes.
I was team BTK for a long time.
He really is a pompous, narcissistic piece of shit. I didn't like and then what we found on Reddit, I didn't know, they didn't talk about this in the documentary, but there's pictures of him. It's so creepy. In the 70s and 80s, he would go on Friday nights and have motel parties, he would call them, where he would just go to a motel and he would dress up, put on a weird rag doll mask and hair, and put in a mini skirt and high heels and dress up like a girl and tie himself up. And because he wanted to feel what the victim was going to feel. And he would do it on a Friday night, knowing that he's got his victim laid out on the next week.
A project. He would call them projects. Yeah, I've seen some of those photos.
They're creepy,
right? Really fucking creepy. And his daughter is so interesting. Like she, I mean, she's in a bad spot. He's your dad, and he's this piece of shit guy.
But I dug more deep, and they said the brother, her brother and the mother are like, they're so angry at her that she's going public saying she's the daughter, that they think she's trying to make money off it. But I'm like, it's just her. I don't see it that way. I see that's her way of coping with it.
And let her talk publicly. Like, how many daughters have... It's interesting to hear the perspective of a person in the family.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have the victims, but I was interested to hear what she had to say about growing up with this fucking...
Yeah, these pictures right here. That's what it is.
And he's not even... What a bizarre... What a weird guy.
Just a weird guy. He said he would go in the late 80s, and one of Raider's favorite pastimes was to check into a motel, dress up in woman's clothing, then bind his arms and legs in ropes and handcuffs.
How the fuck would he get out of it? Like, he must have left a key in his hand or something.
Yeah.
Isn't gonna call the motel manager? I left the key on the dresser.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to kill a woman next week, and I want to make sure I'm getting it right.
Well, you know what's crazy, too, is when the police broke it, you know, finally discovered it was him in 2005, when they went into his house, like, in his coat closet, that, like, you opened the door, and the coat closet's right there. He had his kill kit on the top shelf, and you're like...
In a bowling bag.
Yeah, like, none of your family thought that was weird.
And he didn't even bowl that much. They probably just... But then again, no one ever thinks to look in a bowling bag.
No.
Because you know it's going to be a bowling ball or a head. Neither of which are fun.
Well, they said too, like, they asked his daughter about it. She was like, oh, dad just said that was his gardening equipment. I was like, it was fucking rope and pantyhose.
Yeah, exactly. With Polaroids in the garden.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was very bizarre. But the daughter... You feel bad for the daughter. Like, it's not... I mean, you know, you're raised... It's weird to see pictures of him with her at her prom.
Yeah.
And, like, getting ready for her wedding. It's like, he was just a dad.
Just a dad. And now, you know, too, like, with, you know, forensic DNA and all that, like, there'd be less and less people like this, because you can't get away with it for years anymore. You just can't... Because he would come on all the bodies. So it's like, you come on one body once, they got your DNA, you're done.
Yeah, they're going back and getting all these old people from, like, years ago. Even if the guys are dead, at least they're closing the books on the familial DNA is what gets you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what got him, because they said they found his DNA because his daughter had gotten a pap smear. And they what a shit way to know that your dad's a serial killer and the whole world knows you have HPV.
But imagine being him. Like, I got away with it for 4 decades. My daughter's box got me caught.
my daughter had to be a fucking whore. Get chlamydia.
Who else was there?
There's a lot of sick ones, man.
There's a lot of sick ones. He reminds me of a guy named Randy Kraft, who nobody knows who he is.
Okay.
He was a gay serial killer in California. I think he was called the Highway Killer or something. But he was a real brute who would torture guys with, like, the cigarette lighter in a car.
Oh, man.
And he killed a lot of people, and no one knows who he is. He just kind of, I don't know
why. Still alive. It says born 19, not dead yet.
He's only 80. He's 80. I thought that said 60. I'm going blind. Okay.
Wow. Oh, so he's been in jail for 40 plus years.
I don't know when he got caught. He was a very, very bad guy. The Highway Killer or something. But no one. The Scorecard Killer.
Well, probably because I saw Chino's men. He probably killed mostly, like, Mexican guys and all that. So it's not a story. That's the truth. It's like, there's another guy, like, there's a guy in Canada who was, like, this high-ranking military guy who was very similar to BTK, but he's got no press because he was, like, Canadian, nobody cares. So it's like, the story of the serial killer also matters what kind. There was another guy who killed, like, 90 people, but it was all in the hood in L.A. It was all, like, black on black, and they didn't. It's just fucked up, but it's just what the media does.
Yeah, once in a while, they'll grab one that they think is an interesting, like, this Rex Huberman is his name, in the Gilgo Beach Killer.
Oh, yes.
That's an interesting one, because he was just this successful, giant guy.
Yeah.
Killing people in his basement. What a creep.
What a creep, I know. Gilgo Beach, I used to go there when I was a kid.
Oh, you've been there?
Yeah, oh yeah. But that's a lot. I grew up in Queens. You would go to Long Island and all that, and people heard about it, the Gilgo Beach Killer.
Oh, wow.
And all that, yeah. And it was one of those things where, like, when they hit the group chat, one of my friends had changed out, because one of my friend's father doesn't look, he looks, kind of has that build, and so he photoshopped his friend's father's face in it, and the kid really believed in the group chat for like 10 texts that his dad was it.
Good for him.
It was a good bit.
They nailed him, because he's such a big, scary dude. They had to nail him in the street, because they wanted, you ever see The Arrest?
No.
It's on closed circuit TV, where they arrest him outside his office. Like, they knew it was him, and he was such a giant fuck. I guess they were afraid. Oh, Huberman. Sorry, I'm saying Rex Huberman. You can see they grabbed him outdoors because they were concerned. Oh boy, is she in Letitia James?
Tish, she's James in Dutch. Is done, right?
She's in Dutch.
Yes,
Yeah, she's in big. Oh, that's a lovely natural hairdo. His hair is awful too.
It's there awful. He is. Oh, well, so he's just walking around right outside your apartment. It looks like.
Yeah, he was right outside on 7th Avenue. Look at this big lummox, and the cops just grab him.
What do they just jump right out? Where do they get him?
I think they come out of a car. He's walking with something slung over his shoulder, and they
has absolutely no idea what's about to happen. Right?
Nope. They did this. All the agents come up to him. You have to know you're cooked. When Done. They get you like that in the street, and by the way, you never want to see a fucking white tent around your house.
No, that's not
people
good.
Leaving with computer equipment.
Yeah. It's not a bake sale. I saw, and that's what was interesting too about the BTK killer thing is when he's such a narcissist that he got caught because he started communicating with the police all these years later, and he had that floppy disk.
That's right.
And he says to them, to the FBI, he says, hey, be honest. You can't trace me on this floppy disk, right? And of course, the FBI is like, yeah, no, we can't. No way, buddy. And then he sends it to them, and they immediately, within 2 hours, are like, okay, we have him.
Because he didn't know about metadata, yeah.
Right, he didn't know about metadata. And then when they finally get him, he says, Dennis Rader says, after he admits he's a BTK killer, he goes, and I got to be honest with you guys, you lied to me. Why did you guys lie to me?
I mean, it's and so psychotic.
It's so psychotic. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing with they would have caught him anyway because, of, like you said, he came, there was semen and stuff. They would have nailed him. I don't think familial DNA was a thing in 2005, but they would have gotten him within a couple of years anyway.
Yeah, now, dude, you get, you know, if you're a serial killer out there, just make sure your fucking daughter's pussies are clean.
And on that note, let's see what's. We at an hour?
Yeah, we're oh, really?
Oh,
that shit went by what's so that? Quick.
I didn't realize that. Okay, Chris, I we got all the calls right. Is ready? Yeah, we're good.
Anybody else? All right.
I'm there's more, but we won't get to them. I love you. I'm dying to get you on this show.
Thank you, man.
You're such a good talker. I enjoy hearing you. You make me laugh. You really.
Good.
You're
I
very
appreciate
funny.
You
dude.
Too, man. As I said, a favorite pod.
Thank you. I appreciate yeah. that a lot. And what can people see you and all that?
Go to ChristyComedy.com. I got all my dates up there. And if you want to see me, you know, Friday night, I'm moving most of my shows to midweek because Friday nights I'll be at the mosque.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year. And use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.